Luke chapter number 1. No, I'm not preaching on Christmas. I can guarantee you that. Today is Mother's Day. But let's look in Luke chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 26 down through verse number 38. And again, we are excited for this day that the world has set aside, and we here at Sharon Baptist Church have set aside to honor mothers. But we say not only mothers, womanhood in general, amen. So we know that sometimes God opens wombs and sometimes he closes wombs. And so we just want to honor womanhood today, amen. All that you are and all that you do for us, what a great blessing it is. And we appreciate that so very much. In just a moment, we're going to read in Luke chapter number 1, beginning verse 26 down through verse number 38. Most of you are probably familiar with Calvin and Hobbes comic strip. But one day on Mother's Day, Calvin goes into his mother's bedroom and stands beside his mother's bed. And he says, "Hey, Mom, wake up. I made you a Mother's Day card." And Calvin's mother says, "Oh, how nice of you, son." He said, "I did it all by myself. Go ahead and read it." So she begins to read the card. It goes something like this. "I was going to buy a card with hearts of pink and red, but then I thought I'd rather spend the money on me instead. It's awfully hard to buy things when one's allowance is so small, so I guess you're pretty lucky I got you anything at all. Happy Mother's Day." There I said it. "Now I'm done. So how about getting out of bed and fixing breakfast for your son? Signed, Calvin." His mother said, "Calvin, I'm deeply moved by this card." And then Calvin chirped back to his mother, "Did you notice the part about my allowance?" Well, maybe some of you mothers feel like Calvin's mother this morning. Maybe you're wondering if anybody's going to say, "Thank you, Mom, for all the good stuff that you do for me." In case no one has, let me just say thank you so very much for all that you do. Amen. This world would not be the same without our mothers and our wives. So being a mother is a super tough job. Now, I'm not a mother, but I just know being a mother is a tough job because my wife raised two rambunctious young boys, and we recognize that, and we want to honor you today. In fact, mothers know all too well as they send out their children each morning to go to school, all kinds of things lie in wait for them. Things like drugs and peer pressure and alcohol, even bullying in the schools, and even pornography and godless living. And your children must be strong if they're going to overcome all those things that they face day in and day out. And years gone by, our educational system encouraged the development of Christian principles and attitudes in the lives of our children, but that's not necessarily true today. In some schools it is, and some teachers it is, but it's not necessarily true. Today's children are being taught that there is no absolute standards of right and wrong. They're being taught that anything goes and everything's possible in your life, just as long as you feel good about what you're doing, go ahead and do it. They're being taught that no matter what your birth sex is, you could be anybody or anything you want to be or somewhere in between, or get this, even having no gender whatsoever. Imagine that, being a person that you can't figure out if you're a boy or a girl or somewhere in between. You say, "I don't know what I am." Check that box on your driver's license, amen. How wicked this world has become. I know it's very difficult to be a Christian mother today, but as hard as it may be, we need to realize that difficulties are not unique to the year of our Lord 2022. It's not unique to our day and age. It's not unique to Mary's day and age. Understand this, that in every age, motherhood has its share of difficulties. And this morning, we're going to look at Mary, the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to consider some of the difficulties that Mary faced. And then we'll see some resources that was a help to Mary that may be a help to you as well. So let's stand this morning as we give respect to the reading of God's Word. We begin reading in Luke chapter 1 and verse number 26 down through verse number 38. Then pray as we think on this thought of today is Mother's Day. Today is Mother's Day. Notice what the Bible said in Luke 1, beginning verse number 26. "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast into mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt be called his name Jesus. And he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto this angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as I bow my knee and my heart before you this morning, Father, I come before you, Father, beseeching, Father, that you might endue me with the power of the Holy Spirit of God to preach and teach the Word of God this morning. Oh, Father, we're so thankful for mothers and grandmothers and great-grandmothers and aunts, Father, and all those who just take the role of motherhood amongst our family and friends, Father. What a great blessing they are. So, Father, now I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would challenge hearts. Save that one that's closest to hell this morning, having rejected Christ as their personal Savior. May they come to an understanding that they need Jesus Christ and eternal life that he has provided for them. Oh, Father, for the Christians as well, particularly Christians' mothers. May they be challenged, Father, understanding the difficulty that Mary faced. But, Father, there are some resources for her, and those resources, those divine resources available for us today as well. So, Father, we come before you asking you to work in hearts and lives of men and women, boys and girls, this very morning. So, Father, we pray and ask these things in Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. I want you to notice, first of all, as we think about today is Mother's Day, as we think about Mary and the difficulties that she faced raising Jesus Christ, notice, number one, the various difficulties Mary faced, the various difficulties Mary faced. I think, first of all, Mary faced the difficulty of a tarnished reputation. Remember that Mary was a virgin. She was pregnant and she was not married. Today, as you and I read the text that we have just read, we understand that the child in the womb was from the Holy Ghost and was God's only begotten Son. In fact, in the text verse in Luke 1 and verse 35 gives credence to this fact. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. Then at the end of that verse, it says, Which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So as we read this here, we have a great understanding this morning of who it was and who worked this thing out for her to have this baby being a virgin and pregnant and not married. But as I thought about that fact, and we look at it and we say, yes, that's true. I began to think, do we really believe that the story held true in that little town of Nazareth? If you ever lived in a small town, you know that the juicy gossip is always the hottest thing in the town. I can tell you, I lived in a small town, McConnellsburg, Pennsylvania. It wasn't, it was probably about the size of Pocosa, maybe just a little bit smaller. I'm not exactly sure. But I can tell you this, gossip went quickly and fervently through telephone lines and emails and people talking in stores from here and there and here and there. So I thought about Mary as she was saying, listen, I'm pregnant, but I'm a virgin, and I'm going to have the Son of God. I wonder what the people, particularly the ladies of Nazareth, thought about that thing. You know, here's the truth. Probably, if you and I would have been there, we wouldn't have believed the story as well. So here's Mary, an unmarried teenage girl, expecting a child, claiming that she has never been with a man, claiming that she still was a virgin. And no doubt the gossips must have been enjoying this story. I can probably burning up the telephone lines there in Nazareth that day, the emails and the texts being sent probably were just talking about Mary and what she is claiming to do. And if you think about it, probably you and I, as I already have said, if we would have been there in Nazareth that day, we would have said, yeah, what a story that is, We know about Mary. We know about Joseph. Boy, I don't really believe that. You know, if you think about it, in fact, 30 years later, when Jesus was beginning his ministry, the religious leaders, the Pharisees and Sadducees of that day said this to him in John 8 in verse number 41. He said, Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, We are not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. And so Jesus looks out at them and he says, listen, you're doing the works of your father. And they turned right around to Jesus and said, we're not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. And just as they did in John chapter number 8 and verse number 19, again, they were insulting the parentage and heritage of Jesus Christ, basically calling him an illegitimate child. And the implication was simply this, that, listen, we're not born of fornication, but we don't exactly know about you, Jesus. On this Mother's Day, you may be here today, and you may not feel comfortable. Maybe there's some things in your past that you're not proud of. Maybe there's things in your past that's making you feel a little bit guilty today. Maybe there's some skeletons in your closet that you feel unworthy as a mother. Let me remind you this, God not only forgives, but he also forgets, and he places your sin as far as the east is from the west into the deepest part of the ocean, never to be brought up in judgment against you as well. So mothers, I want to remind you this morning, encourage your children not to repeat your past mistakes. But in doing so as well, you need to help them to understand and realize that God is a God of grace and God is a God of mercy. And just as you had a new beginning with Jesus Christ, you need to encourage your children to live lives that are worthy of his love. Well, we see that Mary faced a tarnished reputation. But then secondly, we find that Mary experienced the difficulty of poverty. Now, that famous verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, it says this, for we know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And I do understand the context of this, speaking more spiritually than it is physically. But as I think about this, I sometimes realize this. I don't think you and I really understand just how poor Joseph and Mary were. If you think about when Jesus was dedicated in the temple after he was born, after the days of Mary's purification, he was brought into the temple. And the Bible says that Joseph and Mary offered a pair of turtle doves, or we could say two young pigeons. That the normal sacrifice that perhaps you and I would have brought to the temple that day would have been a lamb. But because of their poverty, they were allowed to bring two pigeons or two turtle doves. So the question I have for us today is simply this, are you poor? And you say, Pastor, you don't know how poor I am. You just don't know how broke I really am. Maybe you're a mom here today, and you've experienced the pressure of trying to buy something that your children want. Maybe it's just the right kind of sneakers or the right kind of shoes. Maybe it's the right purse for your daughter or the right designer clothes. Maybe it's all the other things that your children desperately think that they need to fit in with the crowd in the world today. I can remember when I was growing up, my sister Barbara and my brother Scott, and we weren't by any ways, shape, or form poor. We were middle class, and we were able to go on vacations every year and have nice stuff to wear, but my mom and dad didn't really waste any money. And so oftentimes, I remember when Nike sneakers first came out, and boy, everyone in school was wearing Nike sneakers. I wanted a pair of Nike sneakers, but you know what my mom said? I'm not paying that much money for Nike sneakers. So you know what we did? We trolled on down to Kmart, and she got me a pair of sneakers from Kmart, amen? And so I don't know if you're familiar with this term or not, but where I grew up at, generic clothes and generic sneakers and generic stuff, we used to call butter cookies. And so I had butter cookie sneakers and butter cookie pants, and everyone knew that the Carroll family, we looked nice and dressed nice, but we had butter cookie stuff. We never had anything famous. I can remember one time, I don't know how I got them. I got a pair of Jordache jeans, and I thought I was walking on Fifth Avenue with those Jordache jeans. I'm simply saying this, is that instead of buying all those things that your children think they want, like the latest name brands, how about this? How about take the time to teach them that this life doesn't consist of the abundance or the quality or quantity of the things that we possess. I think as moms and even dads, we need to teach them other things are more important than the quality or quantity of our things. We need to teach them about eternal things that we can't see now, but will last forever and ever and ever. It was a young lady by the name of Jean Barron, and she spent several years living in a little rundown mobile home. She tells about raising her kids in that kind of environment, and she gave this illustration. She said that one day her son came home from school and announced that his best friend had run away from home. Well, Jean Barron said, I looked at my child and I didn't understand. He lived in a nice house in a choice neighborhood. He had everything that his heart could desire and ever want. So she asked her son, why did he run away? And her son looked at her mom and said, well, mom, in their home, they have a lot of environment, but not very much love. But in our home, we have lots of love, but not much environment. You see, that's what it's about. It's not about environment. It's about the love that abides in our home. You see, love is free. Well, exactly, it's probably not free, but it doesn't cost us any money. It costs us time, doesn't it? Love costs us attention. Love costs us a commitment of our emotions. And that's what Mary did for Jesus. Even in their poverty, she loved him, gave him time, attention, and commitment of her emotions. Well, we see that Mary faced a tarnished reputation. Mary faced the difficulties of poverty. And notice thirdly, Mary faced the difficulties of people's hatred for her son. Even at his birth in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 13, God's word records this for you and I. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in the dream, saying, arise and get and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. And be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. You know, it's no different today as it was in Jesus' day, because Satan really, when he looks at your child, he sees your child as God's gift for you. As a matter of fact, that's exactly what the Bible says he is. In Psalm 127 and verse 3, the Bible says, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. See, Satan knows really the quickest way to destroy your family is to attack your child who really, in their formative years, don't have the maturity or the power really to deal with him. Matter of fact, Jesus said this about Satan in John 8 and verse 44. Ye are of the father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. There's no truth in him. And when he lies, he speaks his native tongue. So understand this. We understand this, that Satan is the father of all lies, and Satan is seeking as a roaring lion to destroy not only your family, but oftentimes it begins in those informative years of your children, that he understands and knows that our heritage of the Lord and the fruit of the womb is God's reward. And so he seeks to devour those children. So I think to protect our children during those very vulnerable early years, we're going to have to monitor some things. We're going to have to monitor the television. You have to monitor the computer. You have to monitor their phones and their internet and even the music you listen to. And guess what, parents? You might have to shut those things off. You might even have to take them away from your children for their own benefit and their own good. You might have to go to school every once in a while and just talk with the teachers and talk with the administrators to find out about what your children are being taught. I can say one good thing about COVID-19. A lot of parents have their eyes open up to really what was being taught in their children's schools and the garbage and junk that wasn't math and science and arithmetic. It was just other stuff that came out. And so I say thank God the good benefit of COVID was that parents could actually see what was being taught in their children. Parents and moms, guess what? You're going to have to discipline your children and train them to respect adults and authority. The problem with our children today, we're raising up a generation of children that have no respect for the adults. They don't respect mom and dad. They don't respect their grandparents. And because of that, they don't respect the authority placed above them, whether it's school or government or even authoritarian of the local police department. And we find today we're raising up children who we have not trained to understand and respect adults and authority, and to teach them to grow up to be a strong Christian that God would have them to be. But we find that Mary had the difficulties of a tarnished reputation. She had a difficulty of living in poverty. She had a difficulty of people's hatred for her child. And notice, fourthly, she had one more difficulty, and that was she experienced was being a single mom. Mary experienced being a single mom. We don't know really what happened to Joseph. I think most Bible scholars agree that Joseph must have died sometime when Jesus was in his teen years. And they believe that because the last time that Joseph is made mention, he was 12 years old and he was in the temple at Jerusalem. After that trip, Joseph is never mentioned again. So we don't know exactly when Joseph went to be with his heavenly father, but we know this, that sometime during those teen years that Joseph had passed away. So Mary became a single mom, raising Jesus, and not only Jesus, but the other brothers and sisters, stepbrothers and sisters all by herself. And I want to say to the single moms that are here, including those who aren't literally single, but they're serving God without the benefit and the help of their spouse. Hats off to you this morning. Thank God for you. You're having to be both a mom and the dad to those children that you have. And we pray for you and ask God to be a help to you. And when you get up early on Sunday morning and go through all the work to getting your children ready for church, that's double work for you. And you want to know something this morning that it doesn't go unnoticed by this pastor and surely doesn't go unnoticed by God. I can remember when my kids were in early years before I was a pastor, that each of us would have a role that we would do on Sunday mornings. Diana would take care of certain things. I would take care of certain things. And so when we thank God for mothers who really play the dual role of mom and dad, that you're doing everything, and thank God, and God will bless you for that. Well, Mary did face some various difficulties, but then notice something else. Notice number two, she also found some valuable resources. She found some valuable resources. Notice, first of all, her first resource was the strong commitment to do God's will. Look at our text verse again in Luke 1 and verse 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now that's the message from the angel. Jump down to verse number 38. And let's see what Mary's answer was once again. She said, behold the handmaid of the Lord. Behold the servant of the Lord. She said, be it unto me according to thy word. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. You see, Mary knew and understood that the baby that was in her womb was God's only begotten Son. And by giving birth to Jesus, she was doing exactly what God has asked her to do. Let me help you here this morning that Mary didn't know all the ins and outs of everything. She didn't know how she was going to explain it. She didn't know what she was going to tell her mother and her father and all those friends and family, all those gossipers in Nazareth. But she said, God, I'm going to do your will, and I'll be obedient to what you have for me. James Keller, in his book, puts it this way. Every mother has the breathtaking privilege of sharing with God in the creation of new life. And when God places a child or children in your arms, His will for you is to bring them up in a home where they will know God and His Word and Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And see, moms, that's what your job is, to love them, teach them about God, teach them God's Word, and that they might come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Well, we see the first resource Mary had was a commitment to do God's will. And moms here today, grandmoms, and those who play the role of a mother amongst your children and grandchildren and neighbors, you ought to have that same strong commitment to do God's will in your life. Notice something else. She had the resource of Jesus being an obedient child. She had the resource of Jesus being an obedient child. In Hebrews 4 and verse 15, we find these words. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but in all points tempted at like as we are, yet without sin. So think about this now. Ladies, Mary had a wonderful blessing of a child who was obedient, a child who was without sin. It'd be easy to raise someone like that, wouldn't it? You'd think it would be, amen. A child who never sinned, a child who was always obedient. But I began to think about that. I wonder if you could hear Mary sometimes when she's yelling at the children. Why can't you be like Jesus? He never does anything wrong. Why can't you be more like Jesus? Oftentimes, parents, and they shouldn't really do this, but they say, why can't you be like your brother? He's an egghead in school. Why can't you just take the trash out like your sister does, whatever it is? And we shouldn't compare and contrast two people, but I can just maybe hear Mary saying something like that. Why can't you just be like Jesus? Hey, he's a perfect kid, amen. Well, young people, I think the best thing that you can give your mom on Mother's Day is obedience. It's not a card, although I think you ought to get her a card. And it's better than flowers and even better than chocolate. I think your obedience to your mother and your father is the best gift that you could ever give your mother. It's better than cards. It's better than chocolate. Just be a loving, obedient child. As a matter of fact, that's the command that's given in the scriptures, is it not? In Colossians 3 and verse 20, Paul writes these words, children, obey your parents, now get this, in all things. Doesn't say some things, it doesn't say if you feel like it, it says in all things, for this is well pleasing unto the Lord. So young children, young adults, listen, if you want to be pleasing unto the Lord, you're going to have to obey your parents. Luke tells us that Jesus was obedient to his parents. I like the story about a little boy who came to into where his mom was, and he announced that he had two pieces of candy. And his mother said, well, what are you going to do with them? He answered, I'm going to eat them, Mom. What do you think I'm going to do? And thinking this is a very great teaching opportunity for mom to son, she told him, don't you think you ought to share the candy with your brother? And he answered, I don't have enough to share, so I'm going to eat them all myself. Well, it was obvious that he really needed to be taught about generosity, so she asked him this second question. What do you think Jesus would do if he had two pieces of candy? Little boy, him hauled around, put his head down, tapped his toe a little bit, looked back at his mother, and he answered her this way. I think Jesus will make two more pieces of candy and then give them to his brother, amen? We don't always do the right thing, do we? We don't always think the right thing. But it would be great, wouldn't it, if you had an obedient child like Jesus was? Well, Mary had the resource of a strong commitment to do God's will. Mary had the resource of being an obedient child, but then notice thirdly, she had the resource of a supportive husband. Remember that Joseph was with her for only 12 years or so. We don't know exactly how long that he was with her, but at least 12 years, maybe in his early teen years. But during that period of time, Joseph, no doubt, was very supportive of Mary. The Bible said in Matthew 1 and verse 24, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord bid him, and took unto him his wife. Now listen, there's no doubt that Joseph, the stepfather of Jesus, was a caring, supportive man in Mary's life. And I think the problem with some of our children today is we don't have men who are loving and supportive of the child's mother today. And he was there for her whenever she needed him. And I have to really think about this. Think of the circumstances surrounding the conception of Jesus and the birth of Jesus. Joseph had to be a man who loved his wife and supported his wife no matter what. If that would have been the case, he would have been like he first wanted to do. I'll divorce her quietly. We'll just put this thing away. She'll go her way. I'll go my way. And that will be done. But no, he loved her and supported her. He was also obedient to the Lord's will for his life. May I say to all the husbands and all the fathers that are here this morning, the best thing that you can give your mother, your wife on Mother's Day or your mother on Mother's Day is not jewelry, although that's a good thing. It's not flowers, but that's a good thing as well. Or anything else that you might give them. The best thing that you can give your wife or your mother is to be supportive of her, pray for her, and be an encourager to her, and always be there for whenever and whatever she needs. A famous evangelist tells the story of a husband who was not very attracted to his wife. But one day, God began to work on his heart about this thing. He began to feel just a little bit guilty about his feelings. So he decided to make a change in his life. He asked the Lord to forgive him. And so on his way home from work, he stopped at the store. He bought a big box of chocolate, because we know that women like chocolate. He bought a big bouquet of flowers. He came home to surprise his wife. So he walks up to the door, and he rings the doorbell. His wife opens up the door, and there he stands, candy in one hand, flowers in the other, and started singing this song, I love you truly, truly dear. Instantly, his wife takes a look at him. She begins to weep and cry. I'm talking about big old crocodile tears are coming down her face, gushing out of her eyes. And she sobs, "Oh, honey, everything went wrong today. We had a leak in the plumbing. The kids were terrible. The house is a wreck. And now you come home drunk." You see? I'm telling you, man. Be careful how supportive you are. Sometimes you might need just to slip it in a little at a time, amen. But the truth is, and my prayer is that you're fully supported, that you stand at the door singing a love song, holding a candy, holding a flower, and she just melts in your arms and said, "I'm so glad to see you, honey. I love you." That's the way it ought to be. Well, finally, notice this. Mary had a close friend who encouraged her. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 42, we find these words. "And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." If you remember this story that Mary is expecting Jesus, she went to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who was also expecting a child. And Elizabeth was expecting none other than John the Baptist. And they spent about 3 months together. No doubt during that time, they rejoiced and they fellowshiped together. They encouraged one another. And I want to encourage all mothers today and help you realize that you're doing a job that no one else can do. Listen, I can't do the job that my wife did raising my children. You men out there cannot do the job your wife did in raising your children. And God has entrusted you with the work of molding and making your children to be the image of Jesus Christ himself. And sometimes in doing that, in making and molding your children in the image of Jesus Christ, you just need encouragement from a close friend. I'm reminded of Proverbs 18:24 for those who would say, "Well, I don't have any friends. I don't have a close friend that can encourage me." The Bible says in the first part of that verse, a man that has friends must show himself friendly. So listen, if you're not friendly to somebody else, how do you expect to have friends that can be an encouragement to you? And the latter part of that verse says, "And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother," referring to Jesus Christ. And so even if you have no other earthly friends, my friend, we have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother in Jesus Christ himself, and his word and himself can be an encouragement to you during this day. Well, I think about Mary. Think about her faithfulness and how God rewarded her faithfulness. You say, well, how did God reward her? Well, we see that she is able to be there to see the resurrected Savior when he arose from the grave. She was there in the upper room when the 120 gathered together to pray, and the Holy Spirit came upon those 120 up there. She also lived at least to see some of her other children receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. And as God rewarded Mary, guess what, mothers? He'll reward you as well. And as we close this message this morning, Mother's Day is kind of a mixed blessing for me. I always come to Mother's Day and preaching of God's Word with a bit of fear and a bit of trembling. I fear Diana won't like the presents, and I tremble at that thought, amen. But actually, I'm never sure exactly what to preach on Mother's Day, because I know that there are all kinds of different people who will be present in the service today. Maybe you experienced the death of your mother. This could be a day of mourning and grieving as you remember her, as you remember how much you loved her and how much you miss her, and how much you would just like one more opportunity to hug her and tell her that you love her and talk to her. If you're here today and you're childless and God has not opened up your womb, you may feel empty and unfulfilled in your life. If you have a poor relationship with your mother, you may feel guilty and wish how that you could somehow undo what you may have done in the past. And I pray it's not too late for you to begin doing that at this time. And I know it's difficult to be a Christian mother, but God has given you resources to be able to do that. You have the resource of a strong commitment to do God's will. And as you do God's will and you're obedient to God, he promises to bless you and be a help to you. Prayerfully, you have the resources of obedient children as you raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, we do understand this, that all children aren't going to be good all the time, because our children aren't sinless, amen. So they're going to sin. They're going to do things wrong. They're going to lie, steal, steal and cheat and do all those things that we don't really want them to. But basically, as you raise them up in the nurture, I mentioned the Lord, we like to think that they would be better off on the good side than on the bad side. I hope you have the resource of a supportive husband. Perhaps you have a close friend that can encourage you, like Elizabeth was for Mary. But just in case you don't have any obedient children, that your children, no matter how much you teach them and raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, you'd have to say they are not obedient by any way, shape, or form. Maybe you don't have a supportive husband. Maybe you don't have a close friend that's to encourage you to stick it closer than a brother. Mothers, understand this. God's power is your power, and He will help you as you raise your children. I wanted this morning, as we close, moms, will you trust Him today to do that for you? If you're here today, you're not a Christian, whether a man, whether a dad, a woman, or a young girl, whatever you are today, we invite you to come to Christ and receive Him as your personal Savior. And moms, God bless you on this very special day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this passage of Scripture. We're thankful, Father, we can look back at the life of the mother of the Son of God. Father, I thank You, Father, that she had a difficult life. But in that difficulty, Father, You provided some resources for her, beginning with a strong commitment to do God's will, and that literally means being obedient to His will. Father, I pray for every mother that's here today that they be found obedient to the will, Your will in their life. Father, I pray that as You gave Mary obedient children, Father, I'm asking You, Father, to claim the promises that You have given concerning our children in Your word, Father, as we raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that our children would be obedient children. And Father, I pray, as Mary had the resources of a supported husband. Oh, Father, maybe there's some single moms that don't have a supportive husband. Maybe they're divorced, maybe they're never married, maybe they adopted without having another husband, Father. I pray, Lord, for them as well, Father, that maybe a close friend would be that kind of help and support that they need. And Father, just as Mary had a close friend to encourage her, I pray for these moms that are here that they would have a close friend, just as Elizabeth was to Mary. And Father, if not, if that be the case, I pray, Father, that Your Son, Jesus Christ, would be preeminent in their life, Father, that He would be that one that can encourage them through Your written word. So, Father, we pray for moms and grandmoms and aunts and others who, Father, who don't have an official title, but they act like a mom. Maybe they're spiritual mothers or spiritual grandparents, Father, to the children in this church. I pray, Father, that You'll be a help to them. Father, I pray not only moms but dads would trust Him today in the raising of their children. Father, save that one closest to hell this morning. Help them understand that Jesus died for them on the cross of Calvary. They'll just put their faith and trust in what He has done for them, Father. They can become born again, repenting of their sins, trusting in Him. And Father, becoming a glorious child of God. So, Father, would You have Your will and way during this time of invitation? For it's in Christ's name we pray. Let's stand.